Let's all stand to our feet, shall we? Our text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Today's message is entitled Reconciliation. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Reconciliation. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the mighty cross of Jesus that has reconciled us to the Father. And now, Father, we pray that we would be reconciled and experience the peace of Christ, and that we might give him glory. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Throughout our church and the community, there are dreams and prayers for reconciliation in families, in marriages, in businesses, in friendships. Reconciliation is at the heart and center of the gospel. But is it in your heart? We all love to sing the song, I Can Only Imagine. And could you imagine what it would look like if every heart, every home, everyone was reconciled to God? Stop dreaming. Begin working. Let me set before you some rhetorical questions. What did God create? He created all things seen and unseen. What belongs to God? Everything. What has been affected by sin? Everything. The entire creation, the entire cosmos has been affected by sin. There were only two souls that sinned, Adam and Eve, and yet the entire creation has fallen. Now, all of creation has to be reconciled back to God. Thus, Paul writes in our text in verse number 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have committed or given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So there are several questions. What is the etymology of the word reconciliation, its definition, and in the context in which Paul uses it in our text? Now, the Latin prefix re means back, and the suffix means bring together. Bring together again. Bring back everything and everyone back to God again. Reestablish relations. So the historical backdrop is the following. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. It is part of the Roman Empire. The people were familiar with the concept and the term Roman peace. So in the Roman Empire, there were two provinces. There were the senatorial province, and then there was the imperial province. The senatorial provinces consisted of peoples who were peaceful and not at war with Rome. They had surrendered and submitted, senatorial provinces. However, there were also imperial provinces, and they consisted of peoples who were not peaceful, who were dangerous and might rebel against Rome, and the Roman authorities would send their ambassadors to these imperial provinces to make sure rebellion did not break out. So there's several keys to understand. First of all, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Let the church say amen. Christ has ascended back to heaven and has committed unto us, you and me, the ministry of reconciliation. So in this morning's message, reconciliation, to reconcile all things back to God, there are three ministries that each of us must carry out. And so you can write these down, jot these down. They are the ministries of, quote, reconciliation, stewardship, and sacerdotal ministries. So you say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor Bob? You and I live in a world that's at odds with God, enmity between the world and God. Since the world is at odds with God, the world can be likened unto an imperial province. And where there's an imperial province, and there is rebellion, if you would, the king sends his ambassadors into that province. So Christ has made us ambassadors. You say, well, Pastor Bob, it seems to be useless. People in the world are turning away from God. People are rebelling against God. It doesn't matter what we say or do, they just seem to be hostile towards the things of God. That's why God has sent us, let the church say amen. In other words, strategically, God sends his ambassadors in realms and regions where there is opposition to him. So as ambassadors, that's the environment that we find ourselves in. Now that people, or when people, are reconciled to God, something will happen. They will develop, quote, if you would, a stewardship duty of dedication and management of goods and services. So it goes like this. We are reconciled to God. But though you are personally reconciled to God, it doesn't mean the personal things in your life have been reconciled to God. See, it's not enough for persons to be reconciled to God, but all things must be reconciled to God. So since all things must be reconciled to God, that means that the things in your life that you must have a sacerdotal relationship and responsibility, that you consecrate and dedicate whatever is in your life to God. Let the church say amen. So, if you have a home that you have bought, you consecrate it and you dedicate it to God. Let the church say amen. If you're blessed to have a child or children, you dedicate it and you bless it and you give it back to God. Let the church say amen. So in other words, God doesn't want just people. God wants the things in your life to be consecrated, dedicated, and reconciled back to him. So how does this play out on a given week? You see, when God created Adam, he gave him charge, authority over the works of his hand, dominion, and he placed him in a garden to keep, to till the garden. Well, it was the expectation that towards the close of the week, that Adam would take the fruit, the produce, and he would offer it upon an altar to God. And as he offered the things that had grown in the garden that he had cultivated and developed, it was an expression, first of all, of God's goodness. Because of God's goodness, there was fruitfulness in the garden. It was also the evidence of Adam's diligence, that Adam had been diligent cultivating the garden, because if he had not been diligent, then the fruit would not be becoming to God, then the fruit would suffer spoilage. It also meant that Adam had been obedient to God, that he had carried out his calling under God. And then finally, it would be becoming of the worthiness of God, that God is worthy to receive. You and I, God gives us strength, and he gives us strength to go about our work week. And the earnings and the wages that we receive, we are to consecrate. We are to dedicate those things to God. And we come into God's house, and we join our gifts, our offerings. We individually and collectively join our gifts and offerings, if you would, and we join them to the sacrifice of Christ. Why? Because the sacrifice of Christ is acceptable unto God. And Christ makes our sacrifices acceptable unto God. And thus we give to Christ, who then takes our gifts and makes them acceptable unto the Father. Thus the Holy Spirit, who has prompted you to give, the Son of God, who has received your gifts and made them acceptable and has now given them unto God. As you carry out this stewardship unto God, you are glorifying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let the church say amen. You see, all things are to be reconciled to God, who's committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, God wants you to make things holy. In other words, it's not just you being holy, but as you're consecrating and making things holy, for what reason? So that holiness of God might be pervasive throughout the earth. So, as ambassadors for Christ, as we share the message of Christ, and we consecrate and dedicate all things unto God, what happens? Then the enemy is defeated, and the enemy has to flee the realm, the providence that we find ourselves in. Let the church say amen. Let me ask you a question. Are you carrying out your ministry of reconciliation? Are you carrying out your ministry of stewardship? Are you carrying out your sacerdotal ministry of making things holy unto God? Consecrate your home, your children, your resources. Make everything in your life holy. Holy stewardship, reconciled stewardship, devoted stewardship, acceptable stewardship, faithful stewardship, surrendered stewardship, mature stewardship, timely stewardship. The tithe is holy. The tithe is consecrated to the Lord. Reconcile people to God, and then reconcile things to God, the management and goods of services to God, and God's providence is a providence of peace. Now listen, why does God want there to be peace? Because where there's peace, there is the likelihood of prosperity. His kingdom is a kingdom of peace and prosperity. What does Christ want? When Christ arose from the grave, almost without exception, whenever he greeted people, he said, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Shalom unto you. Peace be unto you." Why? Do you remember your life before Jesus Christ? Your life before Jesus Christ, listen to me, you bought a lot of things you had no business buying. Let the church say amen. Your life before Christ, there were things, resources that you had that you just threw out of the window that you were reckless if you would. Why? Because you didn't have the mind of God. You did not have the mentality of God. Thus you squandered things. Thus you profaned things. Thus you defiled things. You had things in your life that were unbecoming to God. But once God saved you, he reconciled you. He began to sanctify. He began to cleanse. He began to dedicate things in your life that are now consecrated unto God. Let the church say amen. You see, God is not just about reconciling people. He's about reconciling all things unto him. Therefore, when you love deeply, you will give deeply. When you love with conviction, you will give with conviction. When it's time to give, you will say, "This is God's." Now let me help you. In the world, the young folk will say, "Don't get it twisted. Understand, this is God's." Then you say, "This is holy." Then you say, "This is consecrated. I give from the depths of my heart because Christ gave his life for me from the depths of his heart." Everything and everyone must be reconciled back to God so that God can be all in all. How many of you believe the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? All right. You see, you and I are called to a stewardship. But let me help you to understand the stewardship, because it's not what you think it is initially. You see, Paul says, "Let them account of us as stewards, servants of the mysteries of God. Therefore, it is necessary that a steward be found faithful." First of all, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. The phrase "mysteries of God" means the revealed truths of God. That the revealed truths of God that have been revealed to us in the scriptures, in the New Testament, we're to be trustworthy in our study, in our understanding, and our sharing of the mysteries of God with others. However, if we are not found as faithful stewards of the mysteries of God, then God has no expectation that we're going to be faithful in the resources that God gives us. Why? Because when it comes to your resources, they are very personal. Your money is very personal. Your resources are very personal. And if you're not careful, you can have the mentality of the following: this is mine, and I work for it, I earned it, and I'll do with it whatever I want to because it's mine. Listen, the reason why you have that mentality is because you don't understand what it is to be a steward. You're first a steward of the Word of God, because the Word of God must indoctrinate you. It must renew your mind. It must give you the understanding of what the stewardship must be with the resources of God. And until that happens, then this is not going to happen. So you look at your life this way. Look at your life and consider your life to be a house. God has reconciled and saved you. Quote, God has saved the house. You live in this house, this earthly tabernacle, this building, your body, okay? You live in this house that God has saved, but there are different rooms in this house that you have shut off from God. See, much of the house belongs to God, but you're not willing to allow God to go into all the spaces of your life. And sometimes when the man of God gets into the pulpit, your thoughts are these: Pastor Bob, don't go there. Don't go there, Pastor Bob. Don't visit this subject. Don't talk about that, because I have fortified, I have shut this thing off from God. And not even God is getting into that personal space in my life. This will not be altered, changed, or taken under consideration. I've shut this thing off from God. Well, there's one thing you need to know about Pastor Bob. I don't get my directions from you. I get my directions from God. And because I get my directions from God, I must follow where God is leading me. And if it so happens that he takes me down a path that you have shut the door on, I'm still going there. Now, so there are things in our lives that we can shut the door and say, God, I am not going to yield this unto you. So what happens? Whatever is shut off apart from God, listen to me, that space in your life, you are resisting God, you are rebelling against God, you're at war with God. And when you are at war with God, there'll be no peace. When you are at war with God, there'll be no prosperity. In other words, God wants to visit those areas of your life that his dominion, his authority might grant you peace, that you might experience a measure of prosperity, a body, soul, and spirit, because Christ has come, that we might have joy and have it more abundantly. Let the church say amen. So where are you today? Christ has reconciled you. But have you reconciled all things back to him? Christ gave all of himself for you. Are you giving all of yourself to him? He loved us deeply. Do you give to him deeply? He loved us with conviction. Do you give to him with conviction? You see, reconciliation is a duty. Stewardship is a test. Reconciliation is a duty, for he hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. But stewardship is a test. It's a test of what? It's a test of your love for Christ. Now here it is. God's love is sacrificial, for God so loved the world that he gave. Christ so loved the church that he gave himself for her. So here it is. How do I know that I love God? When my life or your life becomes more sacrificial, the more giving of ourselves to God, the more giving of the things of our lives to God, then you know you are growing in the love of God. When you begin to live a sacrificial life, that's the kind of life Jesus lived, and that's the kind of death Jesus died. Let the church say amen. So if we're growing in the love of God, we're growing in sacrificial love, and all things are to be reconciled unto him. So as Paul closes this portion out, therefore then, we are ambassadors for Christ. It is the term nuncio, nuncio. You are an ambassador. You have a message to announce. You are to enunciate, you're to announce the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, so that imperial province, if you would not grow in rebellion against God, but rather that it might be at peace with God, so that God's prosperity might flow within that province. You know, beloved, it is saying it like this. Whatever we give to God, God will flow, if you would, or pour his love in us, and his love will flow through us, and the love that flows through us will be just like a fountain, and the fountain of blessings will be dispersed, if you would. And the fountains of blessings that are dispersed are the following. As we're growing in the love of God, as we're reconciled unto him, and if you would, as we are committed to the ministry of reconciliation, our lives begin to bless the lives of other people. And at the end of the day, when you die, here's the question. How many people would you have blessed? How many people would you have blessed? Let the church say amen. Because if you're not thinking clearly, you think like this. Well, I have my bucket list. Now I want to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 before I die. Now, let me ask you this question. Whose bucket list is it? Whose bucket list is it? You have a bucket list? Okay. I thought your life is hid with God in Christ. Now that your life is hid with God in Christ, your life's objective is to be a blessing to others. In other words, it's not how much you can take to the grave, it's how much you can give to others before you go to the grave. What good is it to have a bank account, CDs, portfolio, loaded up to here? I've accumulated this and I acquired that. How much of it are you going to take with you? Not a thing. You came into the world naked, and you're going to leave naked. Let the church say amen. You can't take it with you. It's not about did you have fun in life. It's not about how many things you attained and accomplished in life. What it comes down to, were you reconciled to God? And did you reconcile others to God? Was your life a blessing to others? Or did you live a selfish life? Listen, all things must be reconciled to God. What are you holding on to? And what are you holding out concerning? Does it belong to God? Or does it not belong to God? Is it his? Or is it yours? You can't serve two masters. You got to decide what is his. Is it everything? And if it's not everything, then it's nothing. He's either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. All things must be reconciled back to God. Let the church say amen. Listen, look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you've committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation, and that, God, that you have called us to be reconciled to you and to reconcile all things unto you. And so, Father, we pray that there be no rebellion, uprising against your love. That, Father, that we would be at peace, that you might cause our lives to prosper. But, Father, we know that where there's resistance of your grace and frustration of your grace, that, God, there will be enmity, there will be opposition, there will be conflict in our lives. So, Father, help us to submit to you. And then, Father, as we're submitting to your wise counsel, God, help us to be a blessing to others. And, Father, we know that regardless of how well we may bless others, that you will bless us greater than we can ever imagine. For you will be indebted to no man, and you will owe no man anything, because you are God. And Father, we can truly say you have given to us far more than we've ever given to you. Now, Father, we bless your name. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.